God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to say this was a bittersweet week for me. And I don't think I would have expected that way back when we set off on this journey with David. See, I thought I had David all figured out. When I was a kid, David was this larger-than-life figure. He was the king, he was important, and he was good, and he was the hero of the story. And then when I got older, and when I started taking Bible classes in college and seminary, my opinion on David shifted. David was the corrupt king who did terrible things. He was a womanizer and a murderer and a liar, and I thought that was that. I didn't expect my opinion to ever change beyond that. I thought, as many 20-somethings are wont to do, that I knew everything there was to know about that. But I was wrong. In the process of preparing this series, I realized something, that I guess should have been obvious, but wasn't. David was a person, a human being, not all good, not all evil, just a guy in a position both too good and too difficult to be true, a man trying to be Superman and obviously failing. And as I sat in a coffee shop this week reading through this week's passage, I noticed myself getting teary-eyed because David is a person. But he and I, we've spent the past 3 months hanging out together and getting to know each other. And now he's gone. He spent his last days like so many people I've known. Cold all the time, tired, trying to wrap up all the loose ends he can while he can. Turns out David never quite learns from the mistakes he made with Amnon and Absalom because his next youngest son, Adonijah, is also spoiled rotten. And even though David has promised the throne to Solomon, Adonijah plans on taking it for himself, which, before you judge Adonijah too much for that, bear in mind that he actually is the oldest of David's sons that's left. Amnon and Absalom were older, but they're both dead, so they can't really inherit the throne. Solomon is actually David's youngest son. See, the baby that set the whole Bathsheba story in motion died in infancy. Solomon is David and Bathsheba's second child. So why him? Why, when that goes against the prevailing wisdom and tradition of every other society in the world at that time? Heck, for most of human history, it was the firstborn son that inherited everything. Well, for starters, David himself was the youngest son, so he knows from personal experience that birth order means pretty much nothing. The larger reason, though, seems to be that Solomon was chosen because Bathsheba made him promise it, which, good for you, girl. Now, we don't have an exact transcript of the moment when David promised Bathsheba Solomon would be king. We just know that conversation happened, because Bathsheba references it in the passage we read today. But if you'll allow me to editorialize for a bit, I imagine it went something like this. So remember that time you forced me to sleep with you and got me pregnant and then murdered my husband? Yeah, I do. Right, so I would think it's only fair that my son Solomon inherits the throne from you. Well, but Adonijah is technically the oldest, so... Right, of course, Solomon, you're right. I think making Solomon king was the best that David could do to make up for what he did to Bathsheba and Uriah. That's the reasoning on a practical level. On a spiritual and theological level, I think that God just really enjoys putting us off our game. The God I see in this book right here loves subverting our expectations and catching us off guard and surprising us and shaking up old patterns and getting us out of the routines and ruts we get ourselves stuck in. Any of David's kids would have seemed like a better fit for the throne than Solomon. They were all kind types. He had no interest in war. His name is a derivative of the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And that's great in like a woo-woo kind of way, but not exactly what you'd look for in a king, at least not back then. Kings were warriors, they were aggressors, they weren't peacemakers. Not when your country is teeny tiny and everyone else around you wants the land that you have. At least, again, that's what the prevailing wisdom of the time would say. But God had something different in mind. God knew that there was a better way to live than constantly fighting fire with fire. God knew that sometimes peace comes from being willing to lay down your weapons first. So Solomon, that hippie kid with the hot mom, he becomes king. Speaking of Bathsheba, and this is like just an aside, I find it fascinating that Bathsheba is still alive when David dies, and yet they have to go hire some rando named Abishag to snuggle with David so he can retain his body heat. Like, couldn't Bathsheba have done that? I'm guessing she just didn't want to because for some crazy reason she probably didn't like David all that much. Can't imagine why she wouldn't. I'm sorry, I just had to share that observation because I found it really amusing. Anyway, David's last act on this earth is to make sure that his promise to Bathsheba is kept. Because we can all agree that snuggles or no snuggles, he owes her that much. David has Zadok the priest anoint Solomon as king, and then, as far as we know, David uses his last breaths to give some fatherly, kingly advice to Solomon. You're a man of wisdom, my son. Follow God. Do right by those who have shown us kindness. Stamp out the corruption within this place that I wasn't strong enough to deal with on my own. And don't make the same mistakes I did. And then David dies. He's buried with his ancestors. He had served his country as its king for 40 years, which is a good long run. Not perfect, of course. But Israel could have done a whole lot worse than him. So this is the end of David's story. Next week, we'll wrap up this series by taking a look at David's legacy. In the beginning of the reign of his son Solomon. And then that's where we'll have to leave this story for now. This story that, in ways its characters could have never anticipated, leads directly to Jesus, leads directly to us. We are still God's people, and we are still looking for a way back to the unity we once knew when David was king. I believe, in spite of any evidence to the contrary, that time will be. That there is unity under a king so much more qualified than David ever could be. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know that the kind of God we serve is the kind of God that won't give up on us until that day comes. For now, though, let's tend to the work in front of us. Let's draw warmth and strength from each other. And let's look to the future with hope. I invite you to join us.